people in that area come just to hear the youth choir that you heard a minute ago. When they hear the youth choir is going to be there, folks come from everywhere. And so just don't be a disappointment to them. A bunch of y'all plan on going with us. We'll make maps. The maps will be at the bookstore tomorrow afternoon. It's real simple, just right off Interstate 40. And we'll have a good time. Good time. And I believe the Lord's going to bless it. I believe you're here for a reason this morning. I don't believe anybody's here by accident. And I preached over at the Juvenile Center this morning on we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil has many tricks that he's using on young people, teenagers, and mamas and daddies. Lots and lots of them. But really, if you think about it, the devil's using the same old tricks that he's used for thousands of years. He just kind of puts them in a little different package or colors them a little bit different and hands you the same stuff. And the devil puts things in front of you. Like I was saying over there, I was going to preach a message on it this morning, but I felt like maybe just talk to you for a minute and then maybe we'll do something else in a minute. But it's like when a man goes fishing. And when a man goes fishing, he don't just put a hook down in the water. No fish. Listen, no fish is going to be swimming through the water and say, "Wow, there's a nice sharp hook. I believe I'll swallow it and let it hang in my throat and rip my vocal cords and tonsils and part of my guts out. And I'm going to let them jerk me out of the water and put me in the frying pan." No fish does that. Fish are dumb, but they ain't that dumb. Fish sees only one thing. The bait. And the fish sees it and goes, "Oh boy, this is my lucky day," right? Can't see the hook. It just sees the worm. And the fish says, "Oh man, don't let the other fish see it. I'm going to get it first." And when he does, "Oh, right there, man." And he feels it inside. And then all of a sudden, he goes up when he don't want to go up. And a man takes a knife while he's still alive and starts scraping his body. That'd feel good, wouldn't it? Scraping. And then throws him in a frying pan. Sometimes they don't even want to do that. They just lay you in the dirt and let you just flop. Like that. Catch you just for the fun of it. Now the devil's doing the same thing to you and to me. The devil puts his bait out there and he's got it, his hook, and he's got it hid with the bait, right? All you see is the bait. The guy comes up to you kids and he says, "You want a beer?" All you see is the bait. You don't see the hook. The devil comes up and he says, "Hey man, you ever tried one of these? Smoke one." And you say, "That looks good. I'm going to get it for the other fish." "Oh, I wouldn't do that if I was you." Yeah, man. You just see the bait. You don't see the hook. Yeah. You should have went with us this morning. We'd have showed you some fish that got caught. Yeah. And they're on their way to the frying pan. I mean, if they don't get saved. So the problem with young people today, you know what the problem with young people is? It's the same problem young people have always had. They think they're a lot smarter than what they really are. Yeah. Amen, old folks? Ain't that the truth? They think they know everything. You can't tell them nothing. You can't tell them anything. You can't say, "Now listen, don't tell me, Mom, I know it all." Sure you do. Sure you do. I told them boys in juvenile center this morning, I said, "You guys think you're so smart? What are you doing in here?" Amen? You wasn't too smart, you got caught. That's right. And the Bible said the beginning of wisdom is what? Somebody tell me. Fear of the Lord. If a man don't fear God, he ain't even the first base on wisdom yet. First base is fearing God. Now the Bible says we are not ignorant of His devices. And I wasn't really planning on carrying that over in the service this morning, but it just won't get off my mind. I believe there's somebody here this morning. The devil is using his tricks on you
to deceive you. The devil has his major, normal, I mean, he's got drugs, he's got alcohol, he's got promiscuity, he's got rock and roll, he's got fads and fashion. The devil uses all these things, and he's like the Pied Piper for going down the road, and you got hordes of young people following him. And mamas and daddies also. But you got to decide this morning whether or not you're going to follow him or not. You got to decide, where am I going? Who am I following? Who am I riding with? Where is this leading me? Let me tell you what happens to you when you take his bait. At the age of 12, kids were asked about smoking marijuana. A large percentage of them said they had either been offered or had already tried it. Third graders were asked, had they ever been offered marijuana? Most of them raised their hand. 40% of fourth graders in this country, fourth graders, have already had some kind of encounter or problem with drugs. 40% in the fourth grade. They blame their parents for being divorced. They blame everything in the world. But the truth is, the devil offers it to him, and they think, cool. I'll do this, I'm going to do that, and the first thing you know, you're hooked. I want to tell you something, kids. There ain't nobody in here, me, you, nobody in here can handle sin. Amen. Sin gets bigger than you are very, very quick. It starts out little, and then it gets to be a monster that takes over your life. And will eventually destroy you if you allow sin to take its toll in your life. I read about a young man by the name of Brad. He was a high school senior. He began to experiment with drugs. He got on the drug they call angel dust. And one night he was doing this drug, and as he did, he didn't realize where he was at or what he was doing. He got into some trouble. His friends got him in trouble with it. He was put in an institution. They had to put him in an institution to rehabilitate him, to get him off drugs. He was on drugs so bad. His friends smuggled drugs into the institution and bringing it to him. One morning, a nurse came in and found his head stuck in the commode, where he was literally trying to drown himself. Didn't even realize what he was doing in the toilet that morning. It took his reasoning. It took his health. It took his brain. It took everything about that young man that was pure and right. It stole it away from him. I'm telling you, kids, this morning, the devil don't play fair. The devil don't play even. Somebody said, they're saying, all the rock singers, everybody said, man, everybody smokes pot. Everybody smokes pot. Marijuana won't hurt you. But let me tell you something this morning. You know what they discovered about marijuana? These are facts. Marijuana, first of all, causes memory damage. And most of you have a pretty bad one of them already. You forget your homework, you forget your schoolwork, you forget to make your bed up. You forget everything except eating. Your memory works real good when it's time to eat. Other than that, it's a blank. But marijuana causes your memory damage. It causes lung damage. Marijuana decreases your ability to have children one day when you're married, father a child, if you're a boy. Marijuana causes birth defects in your children. And there are literally thousands and hundreds of thousands of little boys and girls in this world growing up with deformed bodies, not able to live a normal life because mama or daddy will have drugs in their system, and it deformed that child's body for all of their entire life. Marijuana causes lethargy and burnout. It'll put you on skid row. But the worst thing about smoking pot this morning, the worst thing about it, you know what it is, don't you? The very worst thing about marijuana is that it always, you listening to me? Always, always, it always, always, always opens the door up for harder and worse drugs and narcotics. Amen. It always does. Because if you do it several, I see a lot of young people in here nodding their head. Amen. You've done been there. You've done that. You've done found out that it starts out simple. It starts out with just a drag off a joint. It starts out with just taking a pill. It starts out with that. And then the next thing you know, somebody says, hey, try this. You'll even feel better. Try this. It'll even get you higher. Try this. You'll even feel greater. It lasts longer. And the devil is taking you down the road to destruction, to destroy your life. And you're not big enough to handle it. And neither are you. And neither am I. Nobody can handle that monster. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. I could read you names and names of rock singers who thought they was big and tough and they could handle it. But they couldn't. But they couldn't. In Charlotte, North Carolina, right 85 miles from here, 90, a well-known lady grew up in a fine, probably $300,000-$400,000 home. Her father's a sales executive. Her mother's a school teacher. When you drive up in front of their two-story house, they have three nice cars sitting out there, and you're greeted by a couple of retrievers. And they come out to greet you and have maids and everything to do their work for them. What would cause that young girl to ruin her life? Was it her environment? You say, oh well, they're just raised poor and that's what, there's something bigger working that you can't see. It's the devil. He don't care how old you are. He don't care what color your skin is. He don't care what kind of society you grew up in. He don't care what your cultural background is. He don't care about you. All he wants to do is drag your life down and destroy your life. You come and hear the preacher preach and say, oh boy, he's mean. He screams and hollers. Hey man, I'm your friend. I'm trying to keep you from going down that road. I tell you who you better watch. You better watch Mr. Cool Daddy out there. It's always on the pay phones. Amen. Amen. With the big wheels, you know, and his car is about that high off the ground. That's who you better watch. He goes over a speed breaker and it drags. And he comes in with his thump. It sounds good, feels good, looks good, tastes good. That's who you better watch. That's the bait. That's the bait. It's like one guy said, well, you smoke cigarettes? And he said, no, I don't smoke. The cigarette smokes. I'm just a sucker. That's what you are, man. That's what you are. You're just a sucker. You're just a sucker. Marilyn Manson's a bait. You're just a sucker. And man, if a fish about that kind of bait, he's desperate for anything. I want to tell you this morning, this thing will destroy your life, young people. It will destroy your life. When we think about this young lady, you know what happened to her? She wound up with a $2,000 a week cocaine habit. They couldn't find her, and she became a prostitute to support her habit, Charlotte. She began doing things that she never thought she'd do in order to fill her body with that drug that her body was screaming for every moment of every day. Some of you kids think, I'll just get out and I'll party and it'll be fun and I'll just live it up and nothing like that won't never happen to me. Do you think she thought it would happen to her? Do you think them guys in prison this morning thought they'd ever wind up in prison? Do you think, hear me? Do you think the people in hell today thought they was going to hell? No! No! What they didn't realize, the devil gives you a little at a time. The devil takes you down the step. He will destroy your life and take your soul to hell. This ain't no joke we're playing. You know what teenagers call this? what I'm doing? They say, man, that's hardcore preaching. That's right. You know why we get it to them hardcore? Because everywhere they go out there, they're getting hit with sin hardcore. I want to tell you the answer to hardcore sin is hardcore preaching. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse those sins away. Our teenagers today don't need no mealy-mouthed, soft-coated, sugar-coated religion. Hell, with a bunch of dead churches, people marching in like they don't even believe what they're saying. They need old-fashioned, old-time preaching and praying, singing and shouting to blast them out of their sin and show them there's a better way to live than what the devil's got at. You know why a lot of teenagers fall into sin? Because the devil shows them much more reality than what they see at church. And by the grace of God, that ain't going to happen here. Amen? Yeah, I know this. This is the biggest church in this county. This is the biggest church in Western North Carolina for Sunday school probably this morning. And I want to tell you what, we will not let that make us dry up. I ain't going to walk up here and say, dearly beloved, we are... I mean, I can't stand that, and the kids sure can't. What we need is to realize we're nothing but sinners, and there's only one hope for our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ. Buddy, there's a war going on for our kids. Listen, the worst trick the devil's got is this stuff. Her body, that girl I was telling you about a minute ago, they found her in an old, cheap motel. That needle had become her closest companion. Like Janis Joplin, you know. When they found Janis Joplin dead that morning, her arm looked like a pin cushion where she'd been stabbing it, trying to find a vein. She got into an escort service down in Charlotte to support her habit. Fights. Black eyes. And they found her down there with ice packed on her, ice on her body and jerking and convulsions. Got her checked into institution. Having seizures. She bit a chunk out of a man who was trying to help her black the girl's eye. Turned her into an animal. You say, preacher, you may be here this morning. I don't know. I don't know who's here. I know the Lord wanted me to preach this, but I don't know who's here. You say here this morning, you say, preacher, if you only knew. Preacher, if you only knew what I did last night, where I was last night, the drugs that are still in my body this morning. Did somebody tell you? No, nobody told me nothing. I'm just here to tell you. The devil is out to destroy your life. And he's got that bait on that hook right there. And he don't care how he does it, young people, just as long as he does it. Alcohol. You say, I would never smoke pot or shoot none in my arm. But you'll go out on weekends and drink that beer. That's the worst. That's worse than any of it. You know why it's worse than any of it? Because it's so sneaky. And so harmless seeming. Hey, alcohol's put more people in the grave than cocaine and marijuana and heroin put together. Amen? And I'm telling you right now, listen, if you want to go to a church that has sympathy for drinking alcohol, you're in the wrong place. We have no tolerance for it. Teetotalers, amen? It's wrong by the glass, it's wrong by the can, it's wrong by the barrel, it's wrong by the bucket, it's wrong by the teaspoon, it's wrong by the thimbleful, it's wrong to keep it in your refrigerator, it's wrong. Listen, you say, well, I just sip a little bit of it, I can handle it, I can quit anytime I want, I just take it or leave it. A man that says that will take it every chance he gets. The stuff ain't no good for you. The stuff ain't no good for you. I read about a man not too long ago, and he said he was a businessman. He went downtown, his work one day, and somebody called him. And they said, you better get over here. Your daughter's been in a bad, terrible, terrible wreck. He had a 16, 17-year-old girl. He went down to the hospital. And they was down there, about five of them teenagers was in the hospital. And I think maybe one or two of them got killed. And his daughter was dying. He began to scream. The judge or the police told him, they said, sir, they all had alcohol in them. The driver was intoxicated. There was beer cans all over the place. They said it was an alcohol-related accident. That man got mad. He said there were wine bottles. They said they was drunk. And that man got so mad, he said, my daughter's dying, and she did die. And that man stomped his foot and clenched his fist, and he said, I'll kill the man that sold my daughter that liquor, that wine. It's different when it's your kids. It's different when it happens to one of yours. He said, I'll kill that man that sold that to my daughter if I find out who it was. Later that evening, he went home and he went into his office there in his home, and he kept the bar there, and he reached down underneath it to get him a drink to calm his nerves. And he found a little note from his daughter and said, Dear Dad, we're taking along some of your wine. I knew you wouldn't mind. Love, so in love. He's the one that did it. Let me tell you, parents, here something this morning. You say, I can just take a little sip and it won't affect me. But your little boys and your little girls are coming up in your footsteps and they're watching everything you do. And mother, what you do this much, they'll do this much. Well, you carry it this far, they'll carry it that far. And I'll tell you something else. You can't handle it either, mama. I saw my daddy. My daddy died with a heart attack 9 years ago, and there ain't no doubt in my mind my daddy'd be alive right now if he hadn't drunk liquor. And you know when it started? When I was about 10, 11 years old, he'd keep some under the sink, and every night before he'd go to bed, he'd reach underneath there and get him a big swig of it like that, just enough to kind of, you know, make him get to sleep good. And he did that for years. It's just like a slow growing vine over the side of a building. You can't even tell it's growing. And it takes years and years. And little by little, I've seen Daddy start missing work. And then it got to where it'd be 2 weeks at a time. And then finally lost his job. And then finally wasn't able to function. And then he got saved and he quit and got off of it. And that's the way sin will do you, teenagers. It starts out so little. All these boys in high school, they say, oh, I want to get drunk and I want to drink. And they think, man, it's cool. It didn't hurt us. But see, you don't realize you're starting out real little right now. And a few years down the road, that thing going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're not going to be able to handle it. You're not going to be able to handle it. I read about a boy, he was drunk and on drugs and stuff one night. He woke up the next day in jail. And he said, I don't even know why I'm here, what to do. He was charged with murder. He murdered his mother. He didn't even know what he'd done. He killed his mother. Can you imagine being let out of prison, going to your family funeral of your family member, and you killed your mother and didn't even know you did it? Or didn't even have to live with that the rest of your life? That's the price you pay for breaking God's rule on these sins that I'm talking about this morning. There's always a price. Always a price. Some of you here this morning, you say, well, I don't care what he says. I know I can handle it. No, you can't handle sin. Can't handle it. I'll tell you a thing or two. Art Linklater's daughter. Elvis Presley. Kurt Cobain, John Belushi, Jimi Hendrix, all these people, Bon Scott, Marilyn Monroe, all of them found out that you can get rich, you can get Cadillacs, you can get whatever you want, and there's still a big empty spot right on there on the inside, and they tried to fill it up with drugs, and it's impossible. Well, let me tell you something to this, teenagers, before I quit. And y'all be back tonight, and I'm going to preach to young people tonight. Before I quit, let me just leave you this illustration. You don't have to be drinking. You don't have to be on drugs to get in trouble or ruin your life. The devil's smart. He knows that certain people can handle certain things and other people can handle. That's why there's so many different kinds of music, right? Hard rock and easy listening and jazz and all that. The devil knows what you can handle and he'll just pop it right to you, whatever it is that's on your level of sensitivity to sin. Girl I read about or heard about several years ago. On her 16th birthday, she's 16 years old. For her 16th birthday, her daddy bought her a brand spanking new Trans Am. It had everything. It was beautiful. This was on Friday. All the kids heard about it. Everybody, she couldn't wait till Monday to drive it to school. She was 16 on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. She had been 16 3 days. She drove it to school on Monday. Now the school, her school, allowed kids to drive, but they had to park in the parking lot across the street and lock their car and walk across the parking lot to the school. The rule was, once you walk across the parking lot to the school, you cannot, for any reason, go back across the road, you know, where the student's parking lot was. She parked there that morning, got out, and of course everybody wanted to see her car. They crowd around her, can I see it? Oh, it's beautiful. See it right over there? And they said, let's go over there and see it. About five of them run across the street. They broke that rule. Broke that first rule. Run across the street. They said, that's the prettiest thing I've ever seen in my life. She was so excited. They said, cool, man. She opened it up. They all got in it, sat, messed with the stereo, felt the seats. The car, I said, I love it. I love it. They were all just bragging on it. And they said, it's 10 minutes till school start. Just take a little quick ride. She said, okay. She hopped in the driver's seat. See, they're not doing really nothing wrong. I mean, they broke that rule going across the road, but I mean, they're not drinking. They're not on drugs. They're not stealing anything. They're not even lying or anything like that. She got in the driver's seat. They had about four of them pile in there. And they said, now listen, we're just going to go around the block and come right back and go into school. And that was their plan. Brand new car. She took off, went down the corner, turned right, went down the street a few blocks, turned right again, went down another street. She just got her license, new driver. And of course, they wanted to hear the music. She turned some music on. And as that music played, one of them said, what's the next thing? It always said, they said it to me, they said it to you. What's the next thing? Let's see what it'll do. Punch it! And that girl, of course, with her friends there, happy, thinking we're not doing anything wrong, we're all in our right mind, hit that gas pedal on that thing and shot down that street and made a turn, went down another street. She didn't realize it, but the street she had on had been closed off. And they built a new highway through there. And she hit that guardrail at the end of that street at a high rate of speed. When she saw it, she turned this way, and that car hit that guardrail and flipped over it and landed right on its top, right in the middle of Interstate 10. When she did, there was a tractor and trailer just come through there and demolished it, tore them all to pieces. Every one of them gone just like that. That mama sent some of them kids to school that morning, thinking, I got a good kid. Nothing's going on to my kid. My kid don't do drugs. My kid don't drink alcohol. My kid don't. Boy, I tell you, things sure can turn into a disaster real quick. And you don't realize that could happen to somebody on their way home. Could be me. Could be you. You don't realize what a danger you're living your life in if you're not submitted the Lord Jesus Christ. And right, you're just a target waiting on the devil to shoot you. You break the rules, you always wind up paying the price. I don't believe I'd go out of here this morning. It's getting youth rally time. Y'all listen to me? All y'all kids up there, y'all listen to me right quick? I dread some of the teenagers from Delaware and Florida and everywhere come in here and say, what about so-and-so? How are they doing? What about so-and-so? How are they doing? Are they going to church? Are they serving God? Are they preaching? Are they living right? What's the deal here, man? It's about time we got down to business and done business with God Almighty. Got our life right. And watch out for the devil's tricks. Let's stand, please, and our heads bowed. You may be here this morning as a teenager. Some are already getting out of their seat and coming to this altar. That's what it's for. That's what it's for, you know. If you have to wear your britches legs out on this altar, that's all right. You keep coming. Maybe there's somebody here that needs prayer real, real bad. Why don't you just get out of your seat and walk down here? Ladies, if you'll let some of these ladies pray for you. Men, some of you men, come around and pray for you. God may be dealing with your heart this morning. God may be dealing with your heart. God may be dealing with your heart, friend. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord's answering prayers here this morning already. The Lord sent you here, my friend. You're not here by accident. You didn't just jump up and say, I believe I'll go to New Manna. God put it in your heart. Why don't you come? Minnie's coming. Minnie's coming. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Will you come this morning? Will you come? Will you let the Lord help you this morning? That's right. Come on. That's right. Will you let the Lord help you this morning? Come on. Amen. Amen. Don't let the devil trick you this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil trick you this morning. The devil, he'll rip you off, man. He will rip you off and stab you.